pour out God's Spirit. And we're going to look at several stories, actually, several texts that are all intertwined as we are tying up this sermon series. They're intertwined, tied together with the Spirit. And our first story comes from Acts 2. It's actually one of the stories that we're probably most familiar with when we're learning about the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. Pentecost, which is literally 50, it's meant to be 50 days from the Passover celebration until the feast or festival of weeks or the feast of weeks. And so there they are, 50 days, a group of Jews and some of the other folks all around the Jerusalem area that were gathered. And y'all know this story, very familiar story. It's there when God sends the Holy Spirit. We read where it was just a great wind that passed through the crowd, and it appeared as tongues of fire that was going through. People were speaking all different tongues and languages, but everybody was able to understand. Everybody was able to comprehend. And then after all this commotion just happened, there the crowd sitting there wondering, well, what just happened? And so it's the disciples' job to go and explain. Peter, who is the one chosen, and I always wonder, how did Peter get the job? I don't know if I'd want to be able to follow that big Holy Spirit coming and be the one to try to explain to them what happened. I imagine that, you know, they had some type of game of chance. Probably more likely a paper, rock, scissors, where they went ahead and played paper, rock, scissors. And, you know, Peter, who always goes rock for some reason, they know he is going to lose. So he's stuck with the job of explaining to the crowd exactly what happened. And that's where we are in our text here. It's going to be Acts 2, verses 14 through 24. Peter, he stands up, and this is what he tells the crowd after everything had happened. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, and before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Peter, who addresses the crowd as fellow Jews and those around Jerusalem, he points out first the obvious. Folks, it's just 9 a.m. in the morning. We haven't even had our morning prayers. And by the Jewish custom, no one is to eat or drink before the morning prayers. So it's laughable that you would think that these folks are drunk. And then those that in the audience would have understood and would have known the reference that Peter makes to the prophet Joel. He shared that Joel's prophecy, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. They will see miracles, signs, and wonders. Peter is connecting here Jesus of Nazareth, who performed all these signs and wonders and miracles, which God did through him. And he told the crowd, y'all know this. You were there to see it. And then you, with the help of wicked men, y'all crucified him. You nailed him to the cross. But God then raised him from the dead. And then in verses 25 through 36, Peter goes on to share about Jesus being resurrected by God, to which we are all witnesses, and how the Holy Spirit, which was promised, was then poured out. This is what you're now seeing and hearing. How would you have responded to Peter if you were in the audience, if you were one of those fellow Jews or from around Jerusalem area, and he had just accused you of being the one who crucified Jesus? I mean, I probably would have said, you know, there's been some crazy things that have happened here, Peter, and you yourself seem kind of crazy. I mean, you said it yourself, it was the religious authorities, these religious politicians. I had nothing to do with it. I mean, I'd play the blame game. It wasn't my fault. But how did the crowd respond? We see it in verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They were cut to the heart. Where they felt a deep pain within their heart of grief, remorse, of anxiety, of stress, or whatever it was, but they were genuine in their response. What shall we do? Have you ever been cut to the heart where you have realized you have done something wrong? You've been in the wrong, whether against someone else or against God. And you felt that pain in your heart, in your stomach, or whatever it might have been, where the only thing you were left that you could do is to call to God, "What can I do now, God? What do you want me to do?" Peter's reply to those there, "Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of the sins, and the Holy Spirit will be poured out on you." I want to draw your attention to the text listed in your bulletin in Matthew. This is the passage where Jesus comes to be baptized. We know from the story that John the Baptist is calling people to repent and to be baptized, preparing them for the coming of God's kingdom. And then Jesus comes, and at the beginning of his ministry, John baptized him, and there you have Jesus as the Son. You have God as the Father in heaven saying, "This is my Son who I'm well pleased." And there in that picture, you have God as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending upon Jesus in the form of a dove. When we were at beach camp the other week, the very last morning, instead of their normal worship time, devotion time up in the chapel, some 200 or more youth and adults all gathered out on the beach. And they had a baptismal service for those youth who had made professions of faith. And it was one of celebration, where those fellow youth were all cheered when they were baptized, when one makes that profession of faith, when they repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. What about any of us here today? If you've never made that profession of faith in Jesus Christ and known Him personally as a best friend, as a Savior, however you relate to Him, today could be the day to repent and be baptized. But I imagine most of us here, like myself, we've been seasoned believers for many, many years. But it could be a situation where you're just cut to the heart. And the only thing you can do is to call out to God. And you're hearing Him say, "Repent and be baptized." We don't have to be rebaptized. We know that baptism is just a public profession of faith, an outward symbol of an inward decision. But we can do it. We can go ahead and start getting the water filled up here. We can go down to the creek or the First Broad River. I'll baptize you in my suit or whatever. But we would love to have that opportunity to celebrate that change of heart or that recommitment or that decision. I wish y'all could have been there that Friday morning the other week when all those youth were baptized. It was a sight of just celebration and joy because a few more became believers. A few more received the Holy Spirit. I want us to note something important that's going on here. This Spirit that is poured out in Acts 2 to the believers is very similar to the same Spirit God had poured out to His people that we see in the passage in the Old Testament. As Peter shared it, and I want us to look back, I guess it's in verses 4-17, the words of Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. When the Spirit was given in the Old Testament, it was given with a purpose. It was given with a purpose to empower the people to do a specific job for God. For example, in Exodus, there's this guy by the name of Bezalel who received God's Spirit. It was poured out, and he was empowered and given the specific job of being able to do all these artistic things, to being able to work and to shape metal and gold and silver and being able to craft and do the stone and cut the stones. And I'm wondering, like, I could use a little bit of that, God. How about pouring out that Spirit, that gift for me? Well, then in Haggai, we also see where God's Spirit is poured out on many with the purpose for all of them to come together, to work together, to build God's house. And here, as we are tying together all these texts, all these stories, I want us to narrow our focus on this passage right here. This Old Testament view of when the Spirit is given with a purpose, and it's given to empower. And we see that same Spirit given in Acts 2. It's given with a purpose, given into empower. If you just want to flip back a page and look at Acts 1:8, we read, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth." The Spirit is poured with power and purpose. The disciples were given the Spirit. It was poured out upon them with the purpose of going to be witness for Christ. But they weren't left alone. They were empowered to do this. They were given the words. They were given the actions and the motivation and the guides to be able to go and to share. So what is our purpose? As we have received the Holy Spirit, as it has been poured out upon us, what is the purpose that God has given us? Based on this Acts passage, we are there to go and to be witnesses for Christ. We had this discussion recently, this past week, Melanie and I and some of the chaperones at Beach Trip, about the idea of us sharing our faith. And you've heard it said before that we are to preach Christ always, and if necessary, use words. You may have heard it the same way, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. The idea is that we are able to share Christ through our life's example. Would anyone know that we're a Christian by our actions, by our words, by our deeds? But at the same time, we were having this conversation in response to what one of the camp leader speaker was saying. He was challenged then those to go beyond just good works and deeds, but to use your words, to share your story. As many years I've worked with the youth would say, well, how can I share my testimony? How can I tell others about Christ? I don't know what to say. I think as adults we struggle with that as well. But all we have to do is just share our story about how Christ changed our life. We don't have to give them a whole 30-minute testimony. It could be just a minute or two and hit the highlights of how your life is different and better now because you trusted Christ with your life, because you leaned on God during the difficult times and how God and His people are there for you. So yes, one of our purposes is to go and to share Christ. And we do it with our words, and we also do it with our deeds and our life example. So as we're tying up this sermon series, as we are trying to find life in the Spirit, may we remember to rest, to breathe in the Spirit when things get busy. May we remember to trust God, to seek out the Spirit in all directions in our life. May we remember to be patient and trust in God's timing. That's a hard one for me because I'm impatient. And today, importantly, may we remember to share the Spirit, to pour out the Spirit on others as God has poured out it in our lives. The Spirit has been poured out with power and purpose. What is the purpose that God has given you the Spirit today? Let's pray. God, we know that we're being called to share our faith. We know that you want us to go and to be your witness, to let others know about how our lives have changed for the better because of your love, most importantly because of Christ and his sacrifice for us. Lord, I pray today specifically that as people, as your children are searching out our purpose, that you'll place on our heart a neighbor, a co-worker, a family member, a church member that needs to hear and to be reminded of your love. I pray, God, that you will use us as Zion Baptist Church to go and to share our faith. And I pray, God, that you will empower us and lead us with the guidance of the Spirit as you have promised. We ask these things in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit. Amen.